The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I invite you to have a seat as I go through a couple of quick announcements before our service begins. A couple of things of note, just want to let you know, pickleball is on this week on Tuesday at 2 p.m. Things for your diary coming soon. I just noticed when I came up the grounds how lovely they are. The lawn is mowed, everything looks so nice. And it takes a army of people to do that. And so I'm flagging up that the end of the month, the 29th, is a work party. And you can show up and Jim and Jeff will point you in the right direction and give you something to do to keep our grounds and our buildings lovely, nice, and clean. So please come and mark your diary for that. It's a good time had by all and a chance to have a chat with somebody while you work. You could whistle or you could chat. Either way, the work gets done. I also want to let you know that on the 12th of September, we will be having a community fun day again, much like we've done the last couple of years. And we are really looking forward to it, especially coming out of our summer where we had picnics in the grounds to welcoming folks for that community fun day. That means that we're going to need help and volunteers for different posts and different things on the day. And so be on your guard because somebody will come find you. And somebody will ask you to make something or do something or stand somewhere or flip a hamburger or a hot dog or something along those lines. And it is a really good opportunity for us to welcome our community here and to let them know that we're here for them and be with them in that way. So mark your diaries and be ready to help on that particular day. There are no Zoom prayers this week, but they will return for next week. Our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 9, morning prayer at 11, and evening prayer at 7 p.m. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we sing our opening hymn, hymn number 8, The Lord is King. Lift up your voice.
Thank you.
Our service of morning prayer begins on page 101 of the prayer book. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Our psalm this morning reminds us of the importance of living together in unity. Together we read Psalm 133, which can be found on page 749 of the prayer book. Behold how good,
behold how good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard, even on Aaron's beard, running down upon the collar of his clothing. It is like the dew of Hermon, running down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has promised his blessing, even forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Would you please be seated for our first reading?
Our first reading is from the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent ahead of you to preserve for a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have.' I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down quickly. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We turn again to the Red Church hymnal as we sing hymn number 531, Where Love and Loving Kindness Dwell.
Please be seated. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 15th chapter, beginning at the 21st verse. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for today, the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we prepare to receive God's word, we stand to sing hymn number 563, Commit Your Ways to God.
Thank you.
May my words be in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, it is good to be back from a couple of weeks of leave. And this last week, we had this lovely little trip to France, and it opened up a whole can of worms for me. Excuse me. And the first one really being that I'm a big person, if you haven't noticed, and I find travel sometimes quite difficult being a big person because I'm always in the way. Always just in the way. And it makes it worse when you're in the way and you don't understand the language. The extent of my French is two words. Bonjour. Merci. That's all I got. That's the extent. And that's a poor reflection on me because I ought to know better if I'm going to go to a place to know a bit more about it. Hello. And thank you, the words that I know. But as I spent time in France hearing hello and thank you and hearing that, I thought a lot about this word, merci. And then it turned my thoughts towards mercy. Right? Same sort of pronunciation, merci to mercy. And I thought about mercy and I thought about the fact that I was in France in the middle of a heat wave, walking around Paris, in 35 to 40 degree weather, wearing sandals, walking 10 miles, and I thought, Lord, have mercy. This is bad. And then it went from my own sort of problems, of my own choosing, going on a holiday and doing these things and wearing sandals, poor choice, to the places that I was. It was a graciousness and mercy for my awkwardness in not knowing the language and people's generosity towards me when you show up at a cafe and you're like, I don't know what any of this means. Please just give me something nice. I will eat it. To the places that we went. I never thought that I would in my lifetime go to a place like Normandy. I studied it, heard about it. Understood it to a certain degree, but the opportunity to go and walk on Utah Beach and think about war and conflict and goodness and virtue and mercy. Or to go to Versailles and walk around this beautiful palace and think of all of French history and culture and revolutions and kings and noblemen and opulence and beauty, and mercy. And I thought a lot about this word, mercy, as I went along my journey. And as somebody who loves history and has been to many places and seen many things or researched and written about theology and trying to understand the nature of all that is and all we are and all that goes with it. Mercy is something that constantly finds its way at the heart of what we believe. And so I wondered, what is it? What is mercy? And what is mercy to us? And what does it mean to us? What is the concept or context of how mercy is given or mercy is received? A lot of times we say words, but we don't know what they mean, or they're just so commonplace that they lose their meaning. Mercy is a word that encompasses compassion or leniency or restraint or blessing. Our texts this morning, both of them show this picture of mercy in sort of different ways, don't they? In the Old Testament reading, we encounter Joseph in the middle of a story in which we, if you remember your Bible stories, the coat and Joseph, and he was favored by his father, and the brothers didn't like it, and so they wanted to put him in a pit, and then they said, well, we can't leave him for dead, or we'll just sell him off and tell father that he's dead. And he goes and he ends up in Egypt, and he sort of weaves his way in and through the political atmosphere and somehow finds himself as a very, very, very important person. And he went through a lot to get there. And all the while, he could have been really angry and upset or frustrated at his family, at his brothers. And yet, in this story, we see a Joseph who's actually going, I didn't understand it then. And I grieved at the loss of my father and my brothers. But I understand it now that God put me here, he placed me here, and there's so much more happening in the bigger picture. And you would think that in some sense that I know myself, if I was in that situation, I'd be ready and waiting. If my brothers betrayed me and they came before me and asked for mercy, oh, I probably wouldn't want to give it. Right? Because I'd want to hear them say, we wronged you. We broke you. We hated you. We despised you. We're sorry. And then have the ability and the power to be able to do something about it, to say, oh, send them away. They should get what they deserve. Betrayal. Yet that's not what we see in Joseph, is it? In fact, he sees them and he wants what's best for them. He wants to save them. He wants to rescue them from famine, from destituteness, to be reunited with his father. And he speaks of his brothers and he speaks of Benjamin. And he says, go and get my father. Tell him everything. Bring him quickly. And then in mercy, in a place of power, he wraps his arms around his brothers. He weeps. His brother Benjamin wraps his arms around him, and they weep together over the wrong, over the betrayal, over the loss of years and years. And then he kissed all of his brothers, and he wept over them. And they began to speak with him. Can you imagine being one of the brothers who had agreed to this betrayal, to sending your brother off to his death or to his fate unknown because of your jealousy? To be in the room with him and for his disposition to be one of reconciliation, of mercy, of grace? That's a powerful story, isn't it? Of mercy. And then our other story, our other encounter, comes from a text that oftentimes is a really difficult one. Because Jesus is talking to this woman and he's throwing the food to the dogs as if he's insinuating that she's a dog. But that's not the heart of what's actually happening. He withdraws, he goes to a place, a Canaanite woman. And if you understand the history of the Israelites, and the Canaanites, and the whole of what happens in the Old Testament, and what the Canaanites represent, she comes to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is possessed and suffering. She's going on behalf of somebody else, her daughter. And that suffering of her daughter is grieving her and leaving her in a disposition that's broken. And she goes to the only one she knows who could actually do something about it. Somebody from the opposite side of the spectrum of her identity, of her culture, of her belief. She goes to the one place where she knows that she could find mercy against all cultural norm and practice. Jesus doesn't say anything. So his disciples come to him and urge him. Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. These followers of Jesus, who are meant to be like Jesus, to hear his teaching, to do all those things, their first response is, she is annoying. Send her away. You have the power. Your word can send her out of here. She can be gone, and we can get on with our doing the kingdom work that you have set before us. Their heart's disposition was, she's not like us, she's not worthy, send her away, she's a problem. So Jesus, almost in this sense, and as I read this and think about what he actually says, the bigger picture of what's going on, in one sense to teach the disciples a lesson, but also to push against the traditions of the day and of the traditions of the religion, he says, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Right? He answers, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Right? Which is somewhat true. He's sent to those people who are God's children. Right? And we know this from the accounts in the Gospels where he's there for them. And then it's to go out to the Gentiles and to the ends of the earth. But it starts with God's own people. And that woman has the audacity to go before him in the midst of being told to be sent away. Lord, help me. And his response, right? It's not right to take the children's bread in this sense, Israel's bread, Israel's blessing, Israel's food, Israel's inheritance, and throw it to the dogs because it's for them. And she defies that statement and says, it is. Yes, Lord, it is. Because even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Everyone's worthy of food. Everyone's worthy of that mercy. So Jesus says, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter's healed. I used to read this story kind of frustrated at Jesus going like, how dare you say that, you know, throwing that, she calling her a dog, the lowest of the low. But underneath it is this compassion of going, he doesn't say that on her behalf. He says it to teach the disciples something about mercy. Right? To challenge the status quo of faith and tradition, of the rules and the law. Because the point of mercy and the point of what God is actually doing, the point of what Jesus comes to the earth to do, and what we talk about in our communion service, especially in the prayer of humble access, we're not fit to have these crumbs from your table, but you are merciful, and your property is always to have mercy. So a few things come from these two stories for us to think about. The first one is that you are not your situation. Either in the Old Testament story where Joseph finds himself in a really bad situation, there's something that happens and God knows what he's doing. And Joseph leans into God's mercy. And he finds himself in a situation, in a place where he does good with it. You might be in a situation now where your job isn't great, your relationship's not great, everything seems to be closing in around you. That doesn't define you. Lean into mercy and find mercy in it. Because what you don't know could 2 years from now be the greatest blessing that you've ever had. I know in my own life I've had those encounters where I thought for certain that I was meant to do something or have something, and it didn't work out. And then a few years later, I realized, I'm so glad I didn't get that. It's not a matter of when we pray and God doesn't answer the prayer. Sometimes the prayer is no. The answer, no. You don't know what you're asking for. The second thing that we can walk away from this wondering about is that mercy is for everyone. Isn't it? It's for everyone. In both stories, it's poured out in a different way. Joseph the harmed gives mercy to the brothers who harmed him and reconciles. You might be that person. Somebody has harmed you. Somebody has betrayed you. Seeking that reconciliation. Pouring out mercy in that way. Or in the case of Jesus and the Canaanite woman, challenging the tradition, the rules, the culture, the status quo of who gets in and who doesn't. Those outside the church's greatest beef with the church is hypocrisy. You say one thing, but you do another. This Jesus is so loving and kind and gentle and graceful, yet Christians are often seen as the ones who are the harshest, the most critical, the ones who have the most rules, and the ones who have no grace. Why is that? We were once on the outside looking in. And once we were let in, are we stingy with the same grace and mercy that has been handed to us? May it never be so. Mercy is for everyone. And Jesus shows that in this story as he offers mercy to those who are outside of tradition, of religion, of culture. And she had the audacity and the persistence to ask for it. So we ask. We ask, we ask, we ask, but we also must give that which we have received with mercy and with mercy, with thanks. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come to you with rejoicing in our hearts for the grace and mercy that you have given us. No matter what may be bringing us joy, comfort, sadness, or despair, we know that you are with us, and we know that your mercy is extended to us. We lift up our hearts and minds in prayer, knowing that you know all of our needs, that you can do all things. Soften our hearts. Grant your mercy to us so that we may grant your mercy to others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for your church. We pray that as we have been told to be like your Son, that we may go and bear witness to what the kingdom actually says about mercy, about the good news, about love, about reconciliation. We pray for our bishop, we pray for all clergy, and we pray for all who call the church their home, that we may proclaim the good news with gentleness, with thankfulness, and with mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Living God, your Son, Jesus Christ, lived and worked in this world. He knew its hatred and its war, its diseases and its sin. This world has a long history of war, of death, of jealousy, of greed. As we think of death and of war, we think of those current conflicts that are raging on, and we ask for your peace. We think of those conflicts that seem to be over, but it burns deep within the hearts of people. We think of those conflicts that have caused grievous harm, remembering those who have fallen. We ask for your peace, that you would make right what is wrong. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we lift up our own parish here in St. Finian's. We pray for fellowship amongst ourselves. We pray that as we are in a period of rest through the summer, that as the autumn comes, that we would be active in fruitful gospel ministry towards our neighbors, offering mercy and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, understood people's fear and pain before they spoke of them, we ask that you would be with those who are sick, who are unwell. We ask that you would give them hope, that you would give them clarity, that you would be with those who are in hospital or in care. We ask that you would be with those who are anxious of mind, body, and spirit. Lord, that you would give peace. Lord, we think now of those in our family and friends circle who need your care and comfort. And we offer them to you now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And the good things, Lord, that your servants have prayed for, give us grace also to work for. And in the purpose of your love, both answer our prayers and prosper our endeavors, as we place all of our desires into the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We respond to all we've heard by singing the hymn of the offering, hymn number 626, Set Your Troubled Hearts at Rest.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning in the Red Church Hymnal, hymn 522. In Christ there is no east or west.
Thank you. go in peace to love and serve the Lord.